phone.
Hey, welcome to the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson, your host.
And I'm Viviana Stimson, his daughter.
And we're here to introduce the San Carlos Computer Club, a meeting of which I attend every Saturday at 9 in the morning, and BB
never comes.
Oh, it's so disappointing. But she is here for the intro. What do you have to add to the intro?
We're listening to that one bot from Rio.
That's right. We are surfing the internet and enjoying ourselves, but we're here to say, check out this recording. It's a couple of days late. It's from Saturday, the 29th of August, 2020, the San Carlos Computer Club. Tech on.
Tech on.
Hey, guys.
Are you in a house or a town hall? Say, Scott, you trying to have a meeting?
No, nothing. I'm having all kinds of technical problems on my end. I've finally gotten into a position where I can join your conversation. Nothing's working the way I expect it to, and I've been up since 6 in the morning working on just this, and it was working perfect until right after Paul joined me. And I'm not blaming Paul. It's not Paul. It's just ironic that right after the first person joins this meeting, everything falls apart on my end.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning. Who is that, Stanley?
Yes.
We've got a good group of people here. We've got 10 people in our meet group, and I'm really sorry for starting so late. I'm glad that we can all entertain ourselves so easily while we wait for me to get going.
I've got a very important announcement.
Oh, okay. At the top of the hour, what do you got, Stanley?
I've got a complete 5 seasons of Poldark.
Poldark. You've got all 5 seasons.
All 5. Yay! Seasons. I could put it on a DVD drive and mail it to somebody, and then you could copy it and pass it around. And it's a great masterpiece series.
It is great. I'm watching it right now.
So Stanley, do you actually have it saved as files on your computer?
I have it on my computer. They're in files, but it took me almost 3-4 days to download it because it's very extreme. You know, I haven't looked at the total size, but I could let you know.
Yeah, I bet it would take a couple of DVDs, standard DVDs, on the quality that was downloaded.
I think I could put it on a... No, these are in MP3 format. I'm sorry.
Yeah, MP4.
They're in the video format, but the DVD, I think, would probably cover the whole thing. It's not. I'll have to look at the files and let you know more.
Yeah. Well, that's great. What you're reminding me of is a number of years ago, my friend went on vacation with his kid, and his kid, being like 14 years old, took an external hard drive and passed it around to his friends before he left on vacation. And his friends would take the external hard drive and just dump all kinds of content onto the drive so that when he's out on vacation, he can explore all this stuff that they were recommending. And it was movies and TV shows and music and games and things like that. And that was their way of socializing with content.
Right. Well, I belong to this one. It's an HTTPS site that I'm a member of, and that was available for me as a download. But each season took me over to pay to download.
Is somebody's phone ringing in there? Oh,
well,
it's
yeah.
Irving.
Yeah, we'll look at maybe yes. 1 megabyte for 1 or 2
hours
to download. You know, it was not a.
Oh, it's funny. I was thinking about the.
But never the
Well, that's very cool. Thank you, Stanley. That's a nice offer. And in case you guys aren't aware, I have pushed the record button and the YouTube button, and so we are going out live with somebody is over there watching us. And it's probably one of us that just doesn't want to be in the meeting. I sent Jim a message this morning because he was sending me, well, topics, I thought, and it turned out to be a hoax.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so, Jim, if you're out there listening, I can imagine you're on YouTube because you don't want to show your face and face the consequences of passing around hoax information. He knows I'll give him grief. Well, this is the San Carlos Computer Club, and I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and we are here to talk about the tech topics of the day, as well as COVID-19, as well as real estate and house sales and rent, because we have no agenda and no organization, and so anything is up for game.
We do have a leader.
We do have a leader. Where'd he go?
I don't know. He keeps wicking in and out.
My father used to wear a baseball cap that said, "I'm the leader." Which way did they go? So did anyone bring topics for today? I did bring a few topics. And we've had a follow-up on Polark. There was one follow-up here I wanted to make. The Mac stuff. We were talking about setting iOS devices and their default programs. And I was convinced that you were able to do it. And it turns out I was convinced you're able to set your own default programs. And if you need to be brought back up to speed, this is the default mail app, the default web browser. So you're not locked into Apple stuff. You could use a different mail program that you got from the App Store, and you could use a different web browser like Firefox. You could set that as your main web browser. And on the iPhone right now, that's just not easy to do. And so it turns out the reason I thought you could do it now is because since July, I've been listening to how iOS 14 works. But that has not been released yet. And so last week we talked, and I think Judy and I went through a number of instructions, and none of it was relevant in it because iOS 14 has not been released for your devices yet. And it's only beta testers that have been using this stuff, and they've been using it for a long time. And because I don't own an iOS device, I got caught up in the minutia of their testing stuff versus what's actually out there. The current iOS version is 13.6.1, and I'm not aware of a 14 release date yet, but I imagine before the end of the year it'll happen. I'm hearing somebody talk.
Voice disabled.
Voice disabled.
That was my Zoom text talking to me, so I just disabled the voice.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Stanley. I just thought it was a question. I didn't want to miss anybody. Does your Zoom text have a question?
No, the Zoom text is, it reads my email, it reads whatever, you know. It reads.
It reads what's on your screen.
Yes, visually impaired. Right.
So, as follow up for that, if you're interested in information, I know Judy and Cheryl are using iOS devices. There's information about iOS 14 at a article that I'll post on our website, but really, there is no setting default apps yet.
Right.
Okay, Scott.
Yes, sure.
So we missed a couple of weeks, and before that, we were talking about storage, and we were looking at Google Drive versus iCloud, and I am now ready to make my final decision. So I'm wondering if you had found out any other things, because when we left you, it was you were going to look into it a little bit further with family and sharing and stuff.
I'm sorry, Cheryl, I did not come prepared for that. I have looked at it and then left it, and it's not fresh in my mind right now. I'm sure if we talk about it, it'll start leaking out as information does, but I can't focus on, I don't have that specific information at the moment.
You probably prepared it for me 2 weeks ago and now it's gone, but I missed it. Sorry.
Well, we've talked about it. I'm sorry. I think I hear Chester trying to chime in. What do you got there, Chester?
I just was working on this yesterday because I wanted to back up on OneDrive, which is the Microsoft 365 Office program.
Oh, yes.
And you get 1 terabyte of space. The problem I find with it is that it takes everything off of your computer and puts it on the OneDrive. And I don't like that. And I've been trying to find a way to avoid that, and I have not had success. And every time I read on the, I Google the issue, everyone comments that that's a fault with the OneDrive cloud that Microsoft uses, is that you get it on the OneDrive, you lose it on your computer.
Well,
not like that.
Chester, are you sure you're looking at the latest information? Because the way OneDrive has been configured recently, everything sits in its location, and it backs up those locations. It's like your desktop, your documents. These locations are secure folders in OneDrive's mind. I think that's the language they use.
Well, and they have two folders, the secure and the unsecure.
Well, not the personal vault.
Oh, right, personal vault.
Personal vault. But pictures, documents, and desktop are all folders that sit right in where they locate on your computer, and then they're duplicated on OneDrive. And this is new behavior. This is new within the last year, less than a year. They've been doing this behavior with OneDrive. And
I didn't find any of that yesterday, but if you know where I can find that, I would sure love to do more research on it.
Yeah. In fact, I'm wondering if you can see it. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at OneDrive right now. Open your OneDrive folder. I actually feel like we've addressed this once before.
No, we never finished the conversation.
Okay.
And but that's probably what Cheryl is referring to.
But what you're describing is exactly the kind of behavior that it used to do, that you had to choose whether it was in the location on your computer you expected. And you had to make a mental shift in the paradigm. You had to think, well, because it always resided on your computer. In the older way of doing it, it always resided on your computer, but it organized itself in a OneDrive structure. And so your copy was in a OneDrive structure and it was up in the cloud. And what they recently changed, and it's within the last year, is that those things stay put. They stay where you expect them to be. And they get duplicated into the OneDrive space. And so when you're looking at OneDrive online, you're looking at a folder called desktop, a folder called documents, a folder called pictures. But then when you're on your computer, those are in their regular location. So your computer doesn't look any different than it typically would.
Well, I'll have to do more research, maybe even today, because that's the way I want it. I don't want all my stuff going into the cloud.
That's definitely what prompted the change. But what I am not finding just offhand is where to find it in the app, because I've seen it in the app. I set it up myself in the app. And I forgot all about it, and now I got to do some Google searches to find it.
Scott?
Yes.
So OneDrive, when I look at my File Explorer on my Windows machine, OneDrive has a cloud. Is OneDrive a Microsoft cloud?
Yes, that's what it is. You have a subscription to Office 365 or Microsoft 365, I think they're changing the name to Microsoft 365, then you have a terabyte of space. Your OneDrive grows to a terabyte of space.
That's correct.
Okay, but my OneDrive is sitting there, but it's basically empty. It has pictures, documents, personal vault, but they're all pretty, well, empty. I also have, the other one that confuses me is Dropbox. Dropbox seems to have a lot of things in it, and I don't know how it got in there.
Okay, well, up until recently, the paradigm for these cloud storage programs was to make themselves like a virtual disk on your hard drive. So you would install OneDrive, and there'd be a OneDrive, like there'd be an A, B, or C drive, or a Macintosh HD. There would be a OneDrive that you would go to. Yeah, and Google doesn't do that anymore, but Google used to do that. Is they had a Google Drive, and it would sit right there in the hierarchy of your file system. Your local hard disk would be there with your documents and your account, your pictures, and then right below it, there'd be another object there, and that would be this cloud storage hard drive. And that was the way everything was done for a long time. And that's what Chester's say. That was the complaint with OneDrive, is that anything you wanted to put up there, you had to physically move to this other drive, and then it wasn't, or it felt like it wasn't on your computer. Now, the truth is all of these things synchronize with your computer. So there's a file probably the best example I could give is if you were to disconnect from the internet, everything that's in OneDrive would still be in your computer. You'd still have access to it because you have a full copy. But before, the copy resided in this structure, this disk structure that was a OneDrive disk and its own hierarchy. And so if you wanted to put something in OneDrive, you'd have to take it off your desktop or take it out of your documents or take it out of your picture folder and stick it in your OneDrive. Now, the new paradigm is everything just sits where it typically would sit, and you assign those files to be synchronized, those folders to be synchronized with OneDrive. So those folders are always being kept up to date.
What about Dropbox?
Dropbox, to my knowledge, is still following the original paradigm, that when you add a Dropbox to your computer, it's like adding an external hard drive. The difference is that because it's a cloud service, it resides in your computer as well as out on the cloud. So that example is still sound. If you were to disconnect from the internet in Dropbox, you'd still have access to your files because there's a copy that resides right there on your computer.
There is an advantage with Dropbox in the effect that you can actually go to Dropbox either, where they hold your stuff, and actually create a link, mail it to somebody, and they can actually download from that link what you share.
Exactly. That's what my accountant uses.
That's correct, and it's also available on all these other cloud services. Once it resides in the cloud, then each one of these service providers has their own methodology for making it available to more than one person. And so Google's got its way, especially if you've got a Google account, so many people do. They basically just, you assign your permissions on that folder, and that folder shows up on their G Drive or their Google Drive as in their folder of shared folders.
But it's my understanding that with Dropbox, they don't have to be a member of Dropbox. What they have to do is download that link and still have access to what you have on Dropbox, I believe.
No, you're absolutely right, Stanley. Each one of these actually will provide a hyperlink that you could put into a web browser. And at the very, very least, you'd be able to go to a web page that gave you the ability to download and access the files that are sitting in that location. And so OneDrive used to be an external hard drive paradigm. And that's changed now. That's more a duplication paradigm. It's more like a backup now. You assign. In fact, I finally did find it here. You choose the folders. So it's got a dialogue where you're. In fact, let me present this. I hope we don't have any problems with this. Everything broke. So I hope this is still working correctly.
Cool.
Can you guys see that okay? Yeah? Is it working?
You're presenting.
All right. Awesome. So this is all about choosing what OneDrive folders to sync with your computer. And right here you can see the paradigm is very similar to setting a backup. You just go down your list of folders in your computer, putting check marks by the things that you want to make available in OneDrive.
But it says down there, if you uncheck a folder you are syncing to your computer, the folder will be removed from your computer.
Oh, wait a second.
That's right. And it also says that you're syncing from the OneDrive to your computer, not the other way around.
No, you're right. I've got the wrong page in front of me. This is the old stuff. All right. That's embarrassing. Sorry. I've got the wrong page. I'm looking up as we're talking, and I thought I had finally found it. You would think it would be right in front of me. Sync OneDrive files and folders. Manage files and folders. I know what I'm talking about. Why isn't it right in front of me? Come on. You're right. This is the old paradigm right here. And does that look the same here? OneDrive, open your OneDrive folder.
So this settings. Is going the other way as well. It's going from OneDrive to your computer.
Well, this is the same article. How's your files? Setting up OneDrive.
Well, it looks like it's right there.
Yeah, this is it. To sync is what we're doing. Another way is to select sync. Individual file. Yeah, so you basically, and I knew this too, but I didn't make it clear, that these two paradigms coexist. You can do both of these things. You can use OneDrive as a storage device, as its own external hard drive kind of paradigm. But right beside it, you can do this syncing. And that's what this is about, is syncing those files. It's just I'm forgetting how to set it up. Your next text is select the files and folders you wish to add. Do the same step and you wish to include as part of your OneDrive. All right. While we're on this journey together, let me just see. See, I only have the 15 gigabytes of OneDrive, so I'm not going to be able to sync very much data. So I've never set it up.
One of the additional benefits I'm looking for is to be able to sync my desktop to my laptop, which I don't run very often, but I would like for it to be up to date anytime I turn it on and accordingly sync. Excuse me.
All right. Settings. I found it. This is it right here. And it's just taking its own sweet time. Yeah, and it's mad at me because it needs more space than I have. So I could take pictures out of that list. No, and documents. No, it won't. Mandatory documents. See, I just, there's so much, but this is it right here. This is that synchronizing. So this is actually in settings of OneDrive under backup. Backup the files on my desktop, documents, and pictures folders to OneDrive. They're protected. So they're protected and available to other devices. And this is the choose folders option right here, where you can add any folders on the hard drive. Sync all files and folders to OneDrive. So I'm sure if we get into the hierarchy here, we would find that everything on the computer could be sync all files and folders in OneDrive. Choose which you want to download to your OneDrive folder and get these items when you're offline. Yeah, okay, so this is...
Take one small folder and sync it and see if it leaves your computer.
Well, yeah, it's never going to leave your computer. It's either going to be in the OneDrive hard drive paradigm, like it's going to be sitting in this storage space right here, or it's going to be because you put it there. And that's the reason it would be there, is because you put it there. Yeah, like right here next to it. Let me just take this file and drop it here. So I'm dropping this in OneDrive. There it is. It's just sitting in the OneDrive, this HP chat screen. This is me doing tech support on a laptop. So now that doesn't exist on my desktop. It only exists in this paradigm of a hard drive. And there's a copy on my hard drive, and there's a copy out in the cloud right this moment, because I've stuck it in there. But if you configure it to sync the folders like we were just looking at, then by sitting here on the desktop, it would be sitting on the desktop folder that's been synced. Mine hasn't been synced. That's why it's not in this folder. And I just realized I'm making all these hand gestures over here you guys can't really see, can you?
No.
Because my video is not on the presentation.
I can see you.
Oh, you can see me at the same time I'm doing this?
Oh, yeah. I can too, but you're a little
icon again.
I'm a little icon. Oh, okay. Well, then the gestures are lost.
Scott, I can see them, and so far you haven't embarrassed yourself.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad, Mom. You're with me, Mom. So yeah, that's the only difference. Both these paradigms exist in OneDrive. It can appear as a hard drive on your computer. You can stick things in it like it's a hard drive. What's in there stays on your computer and is duplicated up in the cloud. You can also use this backup paradigm where everything sits where it's supposed to sit. It doesn't move around on your computer. And you just specify that as something that should be in the OneDrive. And the OneDrive keeps it up to date. So, Chester, it's kind of the best of both worlds. I'm going to turn off presentation unless you guys want me to show you something else.
And, Chester, you're muted.
Sorry about that. I was just talking to myself, wasn't I?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, so I think that answers your question. It is doable. I'm a little embarrassed on how long it took us to get to that answer. But I could, I knew it was out there. I just didn't have the right instructions in front of me.
I've spent a lot of hours trying to sort this out. And if I can do it via the backup opportunity, then I'll give that a shot.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a good way to go. A lot of people have subscribed to 365, and they're in the middle of a name change. So it started out as Office 365.
The name has been changed.
Oh, it is. It's Microsoft 365 now.
Right. They notified us a couple of months ago.
Okay. Yeah, I know they've been trying to rebrand themselves for a number of months. Well, if a lot of people have that subscription, it's very reasonable. It's like $100 or even less. It's like you can get it for $70 a year. And you get that 1 terabyte of space. And all of a sudden, you don't need to worry about backup hard drives. You can just configure your OneDrive to save everything. And
how many computers can you use on that one prescription?
I'm thinking it's 5, but
right. I think the $69 one is one license, and I think that the $100, and this is a year, $100 a year gives you 5 licenses.
That's the one I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's you can. And then all the mobile stuff is free. So if you've got Android devices or iOS devices, their suite of software is free. The Word, Excel, PowerPoint, all that's available on those devices. They are mobile versions. They're not desktop versions. But yeah, in fact, you can use that without the subscription.
Now, is 365 available only on 10 and up, or is it available still on the old 7?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't think it's available. I can put it on my list to look up because that's very interesting. I do not believe that it is, though, available.
Yeah, I would think.
Let me do a quick.
Yeah, then if you're using the 7, I think I would go with one of the older programs of Office, which are good.
I wouldn't be surprised if you have trouble using OneDrive in 7 just because of the changes made.
Yeah, that's the problem. The idea is to be able to use another computer with 10 and be somewhere else and still have access to all your files from your main computer.
I just use OpenOffice.
Yeah, I use OpenOffice and Google Drive all the time. I don't really worry about a subscription. But who knows? Yeah, it looks like Windows 7. There's an article from 5 days ago that says that Windows 7 support for Microsoft 365 has ended.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, no. It says it's ending. You can get into it until January 14th. Then it's gone.
Uh-huh.
So right now it works.
Hmm.
Well, so there's OneDrive. Out of the ones we've talked about, we talked about OneDrive, iCloud, and Dropbox, and Google Drive. And Google Drive has stopped offering the paradigm of an external hard drive. They've stopped offering anything resembling a hard drive on your desktop computer. They used to have a Google Drive that would pop up just like the OneDrive would pop up, and you could drag things to it. But now what they have is an app called Backup and Sync, and you download that, and you point it at the files, the folders that you want to keep synchronized with Google. And then it runs in the background of your computer periodically, making your Google Drive up to date. What's frustrating from my perspective, and it's because I grew up on desktop computers, is that there isn't an easy interface to those files from the desktop. It's very easy to get to from a phone or a tablet. And if you live in a Chromebook world where everything is in browsers, then it works just fine. But if you're in a Windows 10 computer or a Macintosh computer, it's cumbersome because you have to go into a web browser, pull up your Google Drive page, and if you want to work on a file, you have to move it down to the desktop so that you can work with it. And the exception of this is if the file you're working on is from the computer you're working on, if you follow what I mean. If I'm working on my computer, I can work on that file right where it sits, in documents, in pictures, wherever it might be. I can do Photoshop, I can do Word, save it on my computer. Eventually, fairly quickly, Google Drive will come along and go, oh, look, it changed, and it'll put a copy in the cloud so that you've got that backup sync going on. But if I'm on my sister's computer, my wife's computer, somebody else's computer, a computer in a kiosk, I have to go to that cloud and pull it out of a web drive, out of a web page, and bring it down to the computer to be worked on. It just they've given up on this paradigm where there's a drive hanging out there that you just attach to the computer you're using. Cheryl, I can barely hear you. I think you're bleeding through on Bill's microphone.
Sorry, my microphone was off.
There you go.
So, Google Drive, iCloud server.
iCloud, yeah.
Those are the two options for storage.
You can actually install OneDrive as well.
Oh, I have a third.
And a fourth if you include Dropbox. I'm not making it easier. I'm sorry, Cheryl. It's like going to Netflix and you just keep looking at what you could watch without watching anything until you fall asleep on the couch.
And this is like month number four. Okay, so my storage is maxed out on my
ooh. What was it? Okay, go ahead, Cheryl. That was horrible. I couldn't hear a thing.
My storage is maxed out on my iPad. My storage is maxed out on my phone. So those are the two things.
Okay.
I have a Windows 10 computer. Bill has a Windows 10 laptop computer. We need to get all these things coordinated.
I don't know
what my best choice is.
I still tend to just fall back. I think iCloud is the best choice because they've made it so easy. And I don't think it's necessary. I mean, at any given day, we've looked at different pricing. We've actually watched the pricing change as we've been looking at it.
Yeah.
And so at any given moment, it is a better buy or it's not a better buy economically. But because you have Apple devices, that's the one that makes the most sense. You're going to back up your devices to it. It's going to offer you the ability to alleviate the capacity restriction on your devices by taking things like photos that are huge and sticking them in the cloud and leaving you with little copies of it. It's been an interesting discussion, but if it was really up to me, I would probably go with the Apple stuff. And the Apple stuff creates on your Windows 10 devices, there is an iCloud external hard drive paradigm. What is missing from that? Why? I haven't looked at it. I wonder if it's got the backup sync for Windows. Sure. Was that Linda?
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Linda. You know, I find that people... Now, this isn't you, but generally people, and I've helped people in the past, they're purchasing a cell phone, and they are only looking at the price of the cell phone, and they don't look at the storage in the cell phone. And there's so many cell phones out there now that you can buy. Yes, you're going to pay a little bit more money, but you can get 128, and that you almost never run out of space. And there's been a number of people like in San Carlos, and they'll say, well, I bought this phone. I go, you don't even have enough room to put in a couple of programs, and you're going to be out of space. And as soon as you put your pictures in, the phone is gone.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? I was just having an iPad discussion with a customer. Their old laptop has suffered water damage, and it's just not worth fixing. On the open market, it's worth $350. The motherboard is $150. It's not worth the labor. You're so close to the price of the laptop. And she's like, that's okay. You know, I've been thinking about getting a tablet. What tablet do you recommend? I got to recommend the iPad. It's just the most reliable, highest inventory of applications, the most accessible device. And what blew me away is as I'm looking at the iPad, it's cheaper than I was expecting it to be. You can get a 10-inch iPad now for $329. Now, that iPad comes with 32 gigabytes of space. That's not a lot of space. Which isn't a lot of space. But at the same time, we don't live in the same world we did 5 years ago. Most people have access to high-speed internet. And they're not, and the iPad in the first place isn't anything more than a consumption device. So it's realistic to be using Netflix and email and surfing web pages and listening to podcasts and listening to music all from a cloud experience. And that 32 at $329, that's not bad. The next tier up was $459. For 128 gigabytes. Well,
which is worth it.
It's so totally worth it. I bet they never sell the cheapest one. It's just there to have the cheapest one. But that 100.
Do you still have the 164 as well?
This is the iPad brand.
Yeah,
there's iPad, iPad Air, iPad Pro. And iPad has. And I only know this because I was doing all this yesterday. I'm not pulling this out of my head other than I remember it from yesterday. The iPad has 32 gigabytes or 128 gigabytes, Wi-Fi or Wi-Fi and cell. And those are the only distinguishing characteristics. If you get into an iPad Air, those are different characteristics. I didn't research that. An iPad Pro has much higher characteristics. I think they're looking at terabytes of space. But really, they're aiming those as computer replacements. Those are for creators that are making videos, and they're drawing, they're doing art, Photoshop.
Lots of pictures.
Lots of pictures. If you want to hold them locally. But exactly. if you're combining all your concerns, and it's starting to come into focus. I mean, I know there's good arguments for why you do things a certain way you do them, but I don't think we've ever been as close to in focus with this idea. The pricing model, the subscription model, you don't worry about backups, you don't worry about storage, you're just worried about the quality of the equipment you're using. You're actually much more concerned about the experience, and now you can get that for a fairly reasonable price at a monthly fee. It's doable. It's gotten so doable.
Sending the iPad, just the basic iPad, 116 or whatever it was.
Say that again.
Which iPad again are you recommending?
Well, so the question was, I'm thinking about. I'm sorry, guys.
Blue one over there somewhere.
I'm turning off Bill's mic. Mike, you're being de-mic'd, Bill.
Yeah.
Oh, he turned it back on. So the question was, what tablet would you recommend?
Right.
And at this point, I wouldn't recommend a tablet that wasn't an iPad. I think that the iPad, and it's because this entry level iPad is so reasonably priced for what it brings to you. And when you compare it to your Android? I mean, because that's really what we're talking about, is which iPad do I need, or is there an equivalent Android tablet I should be looking at? Well, right now, there isn't an equivalent iPad or Android tablet to look at. All the Android tablets are fairly worthless. There are some very powerful Android tablets that are interesting to look at, but then they go up into these price ranges that are way right there with premium iPads. There isn't a $300 to $400 Android tablet that can compare to that iPad being offered from Apple. And that I see that from a user experience standpoint. It's just a great experience. Lots of development behind it so that you're having a great experience with that tablet. Everything that you come in contact with is in terms of that tablet working. There isn't weird screen proportions. There isn't apps that are, but there's a huge inventory of applications that work perfect on these devices. Whereas you can't say that about the Android devices. There's the majority of Android, or close to the majority of Android applications, are phone apps that have been exploded up to a tablet size, and so you get oversized buttons. Or worse, you can't rotate it. You're just stuck in this 10-inch portrait mode.
Would that be an Amazon tablet?
What, an Amazon tablet? Yeah, or a Samsung tablet. I mean, they do what they do. If you wanted to watch Netflix on a 7 to 11 inch tablet and not pay more than $100 for it, that they're there. The Amazon, but it comes with all these caveats that you have to realize that things freeze at times. There are times you rotate it and it doesn't rotate correctly. There's apps that say they can install and they don't really work. And I mean, that's your whole experience with that kind of device. And they're so cheap in Amazon's case, is because they really want to sell you services around them.
My sister has an Amazon tablet.
Yeah.
We've been trying to hold Zoom meetings. Every time we do a Zoom meeting, she doesn't have a lot of things, but anyway, she doesn't have the mental capacity because she has been suffering with a brain infection, but she's also a senior. She knows nothing about technology, and I'm trying to send her photographs that are on Google Drive. Oh my God. You know, it's just that the whole experience has been quite frustrating, trying to talk to somebody that knows this much and owns an Amazon tablet. I think she doesn't own a computer.
for less than three times what she's paying for that, or around three times what she's paying for that, she could have this basic entry-level iPad. You know, here's the other thing that sells me on the iPad. The newest operating system, oh boy, now I'm going to have to go check this again. Is it 14? No, it's not. I'm sure it's 13.6.1. You can attach a dongle now for storage space.
Oh.
So if you really are...
I can do that with mine.
Yeah, you can do that with yours, Judy?
I cannot attach a dongle.
Are you certain with the latest software update?
No, because I don't have any place to plug it in. But I don't have the latest iPad either.
I think it's a matter of the latest software, but it is relatively within the last year or two iDevices. So if it's not that new, then it may not work.
I think it's
like, if we had to date it, I think it's from iPhone 8. From iPhone 8 with the latest software. See, I'm going to have to go back and check this because I'm just pulling it out of my memory. I don't know if I'm right, but this is what I'm thinking. It might be iPhone 10, but I'm thinking it's iPhone 8. But at some point, the hardware and the software was brought up to date so that you can use a Lightning connector to a USB connector, and you can connect a USB thumb drive. And thumb drives are now going up into half a terabyte to a terabyte of space. And so if you find yourself using this iPad and all of a sudden you need to have access to a lot more content, a lot more capacity than what's been available, well, you could always plug that in. And there's arguments for having something hanging off the side of it, but quite literally you could replace it with a cable that's similar to a power cable and have the dongle sitting on the desk. You can deal with that. I mean, for $329, those issues...
No, $429.
Well, if you want the $128, but I'm saying for $329, for somebody that's not a creator, just a consumer, this is no longer a real... It's not a real consideration. There's nothing a consumer...
I would love to be able to attach a dongle to mine, but truly, I do not have any place to plug one in on my iPad Pro.
Well, you should have your power cord cable.
I do, but it's one of those little ones.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, is you can get an adapter for that to plug in a USB.
I've got the lightning bolt.
The adapter.
Yeah.
So you could...
I would have to unhook the power.
Well, and because of that, there's actually accessories that allow you to plug in the power and a USB at the same time.
Well, okay. Well, my dongle thing stopped working. I kept it plugged in on my my lightning bolt connector thing. I always kept my laptop plugged in that way to the DSL cable, but it stopped working. So I don't know whether it's my dongle that stopped or the cable. So, we'll see.
Oh, look at that. 300 pesos on Amazon. Oh, that's the wrong one.
Can't you add a micro SD card to those tablets?
No.
Well, no, but this is essentially the equivalent, which they have not had before. And so there is a... Keep in mind, I'm qualifying this with, I didn't have this information in front of me. There is a model of iPhone and iPad where the hardware started supporting this. And I'm thinking it's around the iPhone 8, but I may have to go research it. And then after that, the latest versions of iOS have supported this. And at first, it would not support, it would support things... Like storage devices, it would support things like a USB drive, but not a mouse. But now I think it's supporting a mouse as well. And this is things that these devices never did before. Before it was always, the peripherals were always one way. And this is something new that's happened with the operating system as of recently. Like within the last year or 2 years. So you can get a dongle that would allow you to plug in with a lightning cable or a USB-C cable, because I think the latest ones have a USB-C connector on it, a power connection, and a USB connection. And as soon as you have a USB connection, then you can connect a hub, and you can connect up external hard drives and things of that nature. It's really what your use case is. I think... For somebody that's just consuming stuff, the same market as the Amazon tablet is better suited with the $329 iPad. They'll have, instead of having less than they need, they'll have 10 times more than they need for around three times the price.
I have a question for Sandy when she comes back. Relating to Photoshop.
Mom's back.
I'm here.
Okay. Sandy, it's been driving me crazy on the eraser tool in Photoshop. You can change the size of the eraser, and the little circle that would normally indicate the size of the erase is erase twice as much as you're designated for. And I can't seem to get that back to normal. So I wonder if you've ever had that problem.
Yes, I have. But I can't tell you how to do it right now, but it will change. And also you might look at feathering of that eraser. See if you can bring the feathering down, because you, you know, that could be part of a problem too. I know the paintbrushes, you can make them either hard or really soft, and I think the eraser will do the same thing.
Yeah, the problem I have is that it'll have a circle.
Yeah.
Which is adjustable.
Yeah.
And the time you erase is twice as big.
That's where I'm thinking. I mean, does it erase it with an absolute line where there's something? Yeah. You might try playing with a feathering thing, or you might just have to bring that eraser down smaller.
I've done both. I've brought it down to a dot, and it gives me two dots, the size of two dots. So.
Oh, boy. Now, I've not had that problem.
Thanks.
I've used the eraser, but I know you can adjust it. But
I've spent hours on this issue, and I'm thinking I may have to reinstall Photoshop.
I wonder if YouTube, if you put YouTube and put, you know, Photoshop eraser adjustment or something like that, if they might have a tip on there. It seems like you can find everything else. But without looking at it, I can't tell you.
Okay. So,
sorry.
doesn't the eraser function like a brush? Is that what you're trying to?
Yeah, you can make it a brush or make it a pencil, and you can adjust the size of it.
But
and you can also adjust the sharpness of it, and you can adjust the softness of it. But my problem is the size of the eraser that you're trying to use, when it does the erasing, it erases twice as much as what you planned on.
What Photoshop are you using? I have C5-6.
I have 5 and 6. And I have the problem.
Or is mine CS6? It must be. Oh, dear.
I didn't mean to block anyone out. I'm sorry. I thought I was just getting set up for the next thing. I wanted to go back to this USBs, flash drives on iPads. I found the page. I'll put it on a link. This is connecting external devices. And I just – sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you guys. I was getting set up. But as long as it's in front of you, this is the device.
Okay.
It lets you hook up HDMI, it lets you hook up USB, and it lets you hook up a lightning power to your iPad device.
So where does the main end hook in?
Into the iPad, into the lightning cable connector.
Okay, so I'm going to have a lightning cable connector hooked into my iPad, hooked into this, and then hooked in the other things. Okay.
Well, this plugs into your lightning connector in your iPad. This right here is a lightning connector right here.
Okay, because it looks way too big to plug into mine.
Well, think about what size USB is, because this is definitely a zoomed in picture.
Yeah, it is. So, because mine's only like a quarter of an inch, maybe.
Yeah, that is lightning connect. Oh, here's an example. There you go.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, so because you can do – I'm really sorry about the photo. I didn't mean to interrupt the Photoshop discussion. I really apologize.
No, we completed –
Well, Mr., I don't know that we have. I pulled up the eraser, and then from there you go up on the top bar, and you – right by the – size of your eraser brush, there's a little arrow. When you hit that, it gives you ways to adjust that paintbrush.
Mom, if you hit the presenting button, you might be able to show it to us.
Where's the presenting button?
If you bring your mouse down in the meat, in the lower right hand, it says present now.
Present now.
And we'll all be patient for a moment.
All right, present now your entire screen, a window, Chrome tab. What do you want me to present?
Probably entire screen, unless you're looking at porn, that'd be embarrassing. But you could do the entire screen, it'd be the easiest thing.
He might need to airbrush it. Where, I see, do you see that I've presented?
No.
No.
Chrome wants to share contact with your screen. Blah, blah, blah. You can tell I haven't done this before. But for some reason, it won't let me share.
It won't let you share the entire screen?
No. Let me try it again. Present now. Your entire screen.
And then patience.
Share. No, it doesn't share with you guys.
Huh. Weird.
Oh, wait. Oh, wait.
There we go.
Well, I don't know that we are there.
Yeah.
Hang on. I can't see my...
Hey, there we go. Hey, I get to see what I look like to you guys.
So now I want to do, which I have up. Can you see this now?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Here is the eraser. Here's the eraser. Here it tells you the size that you have. And then here is where you get, all of these different kind of shapes. Now, those are your paintbrush shapes. They're also your eraser shapes and most any other thing that you paint on or erase or correct. If it's using this paintbrush format, you can adjust. Here is the hardness. Some of you, or maybe all of you, know this. I don't know. But I'm just sharing it because I haven't done it for a while, and it's kind of fun to know how again. This will give you the size. You can get quite large there on size or quite small. And if you use the hard small, that might work for you.
Hard. Oh, I've
tried all of those.
All of these? Okay, then I don't know what else. Let's see what this one does. Okay, here's new brush. Have you done the new brushes?
I've done all of those. But,
hey, you know, that's
just... Here's another point. I'm sorry, Scott, but have you tried the opacity and the flow, adjusting that?
Yep.
All right. Wow. You know as much as I do, or probably more, but that's what I know.
So, Chester, if you start up a new project and you go to use the eraser, is it it's erasing too big for you? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you can adjust the little circle.
Right.
Yeah, but when it does the erasing itself, it doubles the size of the erase.
So you've set it to the size you want, and then it's going beyond its boundaries.
Yes. It doubled the boundary.
Doubled the boundary.
And none of this will adjust for it, huh?
Not that I've been able to find so far.
Wow.
You know, you might be better served spending some time looking for resetting to defaults. Maybe you've inadvertently
I think, and there is a way to do the whole thing. And
yeah.
Reset defaults. I that's where I'm at. Is about like reinstalling it.
Yeah, I wonder if it's some sort of like environment, like a developer environment. You're setting up, this is the way I always do things, and you've gotten that inadvertently tweaked.
Right. That's what I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like something like that. Mom's the only Photoshop expert I know other than you, Chester, so I don't know who else I would ask.
Yeah, I don't want to take anyone else.
After me, you have to pay. I'm not that kind of expert, actually.
Well, cool. We got iPads and we've got Photoshop. I actually did come with some topics, but I've enjoyed our conversation so much I haven't hit any of them.
Back really quick to the iPad.
Oh, yeah.
What's the difference if you choose that you want to have cellular or you don't?
If you choose,
as an option, you're buying an iPad.
You know, I guess it's really you. I hope you guys all understand by this point. It is a computer club. The cell option is just data in the same place as you might be able to use a cell phone. Like it's just having the internet anywhere that cell towers might exist. It's in your car. It's in anywhere you'd expect cell service. You'd expect to be able to use your iPad.
Okay.
And you'd have to decide that. What's that?
This is not for me. This is for a friend that needs to buy an iPad, and she keeps saying she needs an iPad Pro, and I say, no, you don't. So I'm just gathering talking points.
Yeah, yeah. I think that you would have to know you needed an iPad Pro because you're doing weighty stuff. I mean, we're talking about higher resolution, faster processors, lots of video. Well, is she a gamer? That's a good reason.
No, she is not. Because
when I think of the recommendation of an iPad, it's because of the stability and the infrastructure that exists, the apps that exist.
And she currently has an iPad, and it has broken to where it's taped together. So this is my recommendation.
Yeah, this is your recommendation. A 10 to 11 inch. It's almost an 11 inch screen.
Right. Actually, it's 10.2.
Yeah.
Because I just looked it up.
Is it 10.2? I thought it was. No, it's 9.7. 10.2.
Yeah.
And
it's 429. It's 128 gigabytes without, and that price is without the self Wi-Fi calling or whatever.
That's exactly what we discovered yesterday. Was the storage capacity is worth it? That upgrade to 128 gigs for $100 is completely worth it. Oh, pardon me. It's completely worth it. The $150 more for cell is not worth it.
Right.
I mean, we live in a world where Wi-Fi is everywhere, and it's just, you would have to have a real use case. There'd have to be a reason you needed to be on the internet in the middle of nowhere where there's a cell tower.
Right.
It's just not worth adding it.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
Cool. And that, I guess that was one of our topics. That was a follow-up topic, wasn't it? No, that was, we did the
dongle and all that stuff. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Connect external devices and iPad. I wanted to bring up in my list here. I thought you guys would find this interesting. Just a really quick one. I'll put the link on our website. But I was just reading about a study in Ars Technica that says that bird deaths by windmills is down 70% by painting one blade black. They've been doing an ongoing study in Norway at a wind farm in Sola. That I actually practiced that pronunciation, still got it wrong. Sola. They've been doing this ongoing study since 2013 to evaluate if the birds, they've had deaths in birds. It's not a lot of deaths, I think, in my opinion. But they were able to drop deaths by 70% simply by painting one of the blades of the black. So it's a three-blade fan, I believe. It's all white. They paint one black. 70% of the birds avoid it.
I think that would be an open space and go through it.
Go running through.
Yeah. I can't figure out birds why they would run into those things.
Well, I suspected that the other 30% were subject to seizures because it's going black, white, black, white, black, white, black, white, and they don't actually hit the fan. They just seize and fall to the earth.
Again, it's survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, what do you mean, Judy?
Those ones should have had their little heads tweaked off before.
Oh.
So we're going to get the smart birds left, and the dumb ones will be gone.
That's great.
Anyway, on that note, I'm out of here. Bye. See you next week.
Okay. Well, I've got other things that I'm happy to share, but you're right. We have reached the end of our hour. Was there anything that people would like to hit before we get out of here? Any questions? Anything left? I saw we went up to about 11 people during the midst of our meeting, and we're down to 8 now, so... it's been a good attendance here.
Well, I have a question, Scott.
Oh, please go ahead, Irving. I have trouble shutting down because I have so much fun talking to you guys.
I'm going to leave you, Scott.
Love you, Mom. Thanks for showing up.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Go ahead, Irving.
Well, we adjusted my emails so that they talk to each other or sync, whatever it is. And now I find I'm getting emails that appear on my iPhone but do not appear on my desktop.
Have you been having this problem for a while? I feel like we've already talked about this.
We didn't talk about this problem. We talked about other problems, which I've reduced greatly through Google, figuring to solve some of it. It's still, I do get some repeats, but I think it's because there's a delay in the sync process. But this problem is more serious because it is something I may have to work on my desktop, and if it's on my iPhone, I can't.
So what's happening is some emails are showing up in duplicate?
No, that's a separate problem. The problem I'm discussing now is that, let's say you sent me an email, and theoretically I thought it should appear on all of my devices, but it's not appearing on all my devices. It seems like that the iPhone is grabbing it first, and then it doesn't get to my other devices.
So I can imagine that happening if the iPhone was set up for pop email versus IMAP. If
I don't think it was. We definitely set it up for IMAP, but I may have had to change one of the configurations to stop the repeats. I was getting emails continuously throughout the day. If I got 10 emails that day, all 10 appeared continuously throughout the day. I did somehow solve it through Google, and it's far, far less than it was. It's not as a big a problem. I don't know if one of them changed the configuration on one of the, like, Gmail.
Am I remembering this right, Irving, that it was a Prodigy server that was creating that? It was creating extra emails?
We think so. We assume so, but not sure who was doing it. But basically, that's not my problem.
That's
now.
Not the problem my anymore. The problem is now things.
Well, the problem is that I have, let's say, three devices: iPhone, iPad, and desktop. Why can't I get all three to receive the same email sent to the same email address?
Yeah, you should. If they're all on IMAP. At the very worst, I mean, maybe a little confusing. It's possible that if it's red on one, then it's marked red on the other devices. Depending
on,
that
sounds like something that might be it.
And so
yeah,
maybe your devices act differently, displaying email based on that status.
That's a logical thing. I'll have to check. My iPhone.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Somebody's, is that Chester trying to chime in?
I'm chiming in.
Okay, go ahead, Chester. What do you got to add?
And I have an Android, and if I receive an email on that Android, it doesn't come out on Outlook on my computer.
And it doesn't come out at all?
It doesn't come into Outlook.
Okay. On your Android phone, do you have it configured for IMAP?
No.
Okay. Because that's how it would behave if it's configured as a pop email account, and that was originally one of the issues Irving was working with, was getting everything set over to IMAP, and IMAP is more of the synchronizing like we were talking about with OneDrive. It's kind of it's that file sync, but it's for email. And so
settings on your iPhone on the phone.
Yeah, typically, what you have to do is you have to remove the email account configured for POP, and reconfigure it for and put in the configurations again, but as an IMAP configuration. If you're using it with a Gmail account, you need to go into your Gmail account and tell it that you're going to use POP or IMAP.
Okay, it is a Gmail account that I have.
Yeah, and I suspect yours is already set. But if you're listening to me and you're thinking about doing this, you need to tell your Gmail account in Gmail to support POP and IMAP, or one or the other, both or one or the other, before it's going to work.
You can do both.
Yeah. And you can also, if you go in, actually, regardless of what, yours is already set up, I'm certain. But I would still go into your Gmail settings and look for that. In fact, I'll get it in front of me so I've got the right language I'm using. Because it shows you the instructions for your email client setup. It shows you the iPhone setup. It's got the server names that you might need and the port numbers you might need. And it's all right there in your Gmail account. Outlook, Hotmail, Microsoft, those MSN accounts, those email accounts, they do the same thing now. If you go into your settings and give it permission to be a forward, POP or an IMAP collected email account, it will also produce the instructions for how to configure your phone. And then your phones and your tablets and your computers, depending on how new they are, many of them already know these settings. So if you go and you say it's a Gmail account, it'll work out all that stuff for you automatically in most cases.
Good. With that, I think I'm going for breakfast.
All right, Chester. I'm looking for – here it is. It's for in Gmail under settings, you know, they'll gear in the upper right-hand corner. In fact, before you leave, Chester, it's relevant. Let me put this up. What? That's not it.
Adios.
That's not it. Where are you going? Don't leave yet.
Don't leave?
It's coming.
It's coming. I think it's coming. What are we looking at now? Good. Okay. So settings is up in the gear here. No. Setting, if you're in your inbox. Yeah. Settings. See all settings. It brings up the settings page. And across the top here, forward and POP IMAP. And here you can enable POP or IMAP, one or the other or both. And then here is a link, says configuration instructions. And if you click on those, that's a Google support doc that talks you through how to set these up. You can see it's got the IMAP address and the port numbers. Anyway, there it is. It's all there in your – and there's a similar one in Outlook. If you go to Outlook, you go into your settings, you'll find there's there's some sort of tab setting there. I'm sorry. I don't have it in my mind's eye. I haven't looked at it in a long time. But there's something there where you say I'm going to use it as an IMAP or a POP email account, and it has the instructions.
Outlook works perfectly.
Yeah.
So it's the phone.
Yeah, something. Well, it's in the phone. You've probably what you're describing is being set up as a POP account, where you can delete it off the server or it remove it from the server when you've picked it up on your phone, or vice versa on your computer. My recommendation is IMAP for everything. So it's like you're always working on the same email. The only disadvantage of that is if you delete something, you've deleted it from everything.
That I don't want. Thank you.
You're welcome, Chester. Well, I'm going to say goodbye unless you guys have any other questions. Thanks for hanging around to the last second, all of you.
Do we get a prize?
You do. You get this friendly wave from your friendly neighborhood computer guy. wishing you guys were here enjoying 95 degree weather with humidity that makes it feel like 116. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club, and I am Scott Stimson, ready to help you anywhere on the internet.
Wait, wait.
Yes, Bill.
It's six degrees here this morning.
Yeah, well, really? Why six. Is it 6 degrees there?
Well, if you either we're really lucky or we're really unlucky. Take your pick.
It's chilly day.
A little bit north of us, they said that there's a possibility of snow today.
Wow. The summer is over.
That's not in the high country. That's not in the mountains. In the mountains, they're getting snow already. But out in the foothills, there's a possibility in one spot of getting snow.
It's just amazing. I didn't make note in the meeting, but you realize this is our 25th virtual meeting. 25 weeks of being locked down.
Well, Cheryl and I were talking about that the other day, that our lifestyle hasn't changed all that much. We're recluses at the best of times when we're here.
Well, I got to say my lifestyle hasn't changed much, except I'm not going out on appointments. I do most of my work remotely, where it was a small percentage of the work. Now it's the majority of the work I do.
Well, I don't know about that. You got an air conditioner this year.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, see you later next week.
See you later. See you, Linda. See you, Cheryl.
Tech on.
See you, Mom.
Tech on.
Yeah, and tech on. Adios. Well, that was the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions. If you have computer issues anywhere on the internet, I'd love it if you get a hold of me, scott@internationalcs.net. If you liked our club, you're welcome to join us. Anyone can join us. They need a Google account to get into the meet. The meet is posted about 45 minutes before, but we've been using the same meet code for a long time now. So if you've got an announcement or you look at our website at sccclub.org, you can figure out the meet pretty easy. We'll let you in, and you'll immediately become a new member. Until next week, tech on.